Thank you, Lord. Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Let me turn myself on here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Love praise and worship. Would y'all tell this band how much you love them, please? I realize there's probably people already starting to get here from out of town. It's an honor to have you. But it's also an honor to have visitors. Before I welcome visitors, I want to remind you, a week from yesterday, Saturday, is the Women's Ornament Exchange. Now listen to me. You want to be a part of that. Because it's turned in. It was started a few years ago, several years ago, actually. And I think it was started, I believe, by Angela Byers and Amanda Andrews, who now lives in Llano. And it's turned into a huge, huge event for the ladies. And please be a part of that, because, again, you just go buy an ornament and don't tell anybody, and then they exchange them, and it's kind of like the White Santa. And how... Y'all savvy that? Okay. Oh, okay, fine. White elephant. And how many of you know, though, that there'll be cookies there? But us men want to be there. So us men want a cookie after the ornament exchange. All right, so put that on your list, September the 19th, 6 p.m., Betsy, raise your hand real tall. Come see her if you need any information about it. It starts at 6 right here at the church. There's a cookie exchange. They say it's the same time. I think they bring like 24 of cookies, and then they exchange them. So it's pretty cool. And then, listen, and then on the 20th, which is Sunday evening at 5, is when we're going to do our Christmas concert. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Having a... This band, we're working on a lot of Christmas songs. I tell the actual Christmas story. So it's pretty neat that we can not just have a concert. Are the kids singing?
Yes.
We got the kids going to do something. And anyway, praise the Lord. So put that on your list next Sunday, 5 p.m. 4:30 if you want to come. They tell me there are going to be cookies and punch and stuff. And then I'm going to do a Christmas Eve service. Amen. I've had a lot of people talk about a Christmas Eve service. Used to never do them. I just figured people would want to spend time with family. But it's amazing how it's an honor to be able to celebrate our Savior on Christmas Eve. So at 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and I think we're putting it on the digital billboard that we have. On 29183. But spread the word. It's open for everyone to come and just celebrate the day before. Amen. Praise God. I know that visitors could have stopped at any church they passed coming down here, but it's an honor to have you, and I mean it. Again, I'm so blessed that this church is just growing. So we're a young church, y'all. Not saying we don't make mistakes, but this is a great, great church full of faith believers. And you're starting to see some things happen. And we'll start talking. I'm going to finish it up in a message. And it's time. It's time that we start seeing signs and wonders. It's time that people start seeing the manifestations of healing. Break down those boundaries of and walls of unbelief and fear, and start operating by the Spirit of God and in some mighty ways. And so, but a lot of churches are passed by people who come to this church. And so if you've never been here before, it's an honor to have you. We appreciate you so much for being here. So all we want you to do is, if you've never been here before, would you just allow this church to welcome you? All we need you to do is just raise your hand and say, hey, I've never been here before. Glad to be here. Thank y'all for coming. Honored to have you. Thanks for coming. Now, hopefully, and y'all tell me if that's the case, if you didn't get a visitor packet, we want to give you one. But inside it is a pen and a card. I want you to fill it out if you don't mind. It gives us a record that you came. But we also have someone call you one time. I believe that we need to make people feel welcome. And that's a good time that you can ask for prayer requests. You can ask about this church. What do we believe? I'll go ahead and save you some time. We believe the Bible from front to back. Genesis to Revelation. And there's no sense in leaving anything out. And so, but thank you so much for coming. It's an honor to have you this morning. All right. With that said, let's clap our hands for tithes and offerings, please. Romans 5. As they pass out offering envelopes, I want to just minister to you just for a second. Most all of you know, but I always try to tell it as much as I can for new people, because we have, trust me, we'll have 20 new people every service. And they're either looking for a church, or they're visiting from out of town, or, you know, they finally found out about us, or whatever. I mean, we're 4.5 miles from town, from Liberty Hill. We're probably 14 miles from Bertram, the closer town, in the Burnett area, Burnett County. And I want to always remind people, the reason that I don't take a salary at this church is because it allows me to do this, to be able to teach about finances. And I just do it for a short period of time, because I think it's something that we need to get a hold of. And this is it. Ready? That God wants all of you to enter into His economy. Say amen to that. Because if you're into His economy, then you won't be in bondage to debt. Because it's like our society, that's just how we operate, is debt. Because we can't go and buy that brand new pickup truck. The one that I have, that I decided to put a flatbed on, that thing's expensive, y'all. I mean, I almost had to sell one of my kids. It's expensive. But you know what? Why don't we start operating in God's economy, and we will owe no man but to love Him. And so, as I was reading in Romans, I went to chapter 5, and I started looking at this word called hope. H-O-P-E, hope. Because all of us need some hope. I was talking to the crowd at the national finals, thanks to a lot of this church that went to help. But I bet there were 300 to 400 people there, which was amazing. I know they were expecting, 3,000. But as it turned out, a lot of the contestants had to sneak there to get there, because they wasn't supposed to be seen. They needed to be quarantined so it didn't, they couldn't catch anything and then get disqualified from the biggest rodeo in all the world. But I bet 20 of them showed up, and the commissioner of professional rodeo was there, and a lot of the committee people. And matter of fact, the one that I dealt with was our governor's daughter. She works there, and sweet, sweet girl. You'd never know she was the governor's daughter, but she's the one that worked with me and Ricky to promote that thing. And I told that crowd about the one thing that you and I desperately need in these last days is hope. We need it in all areas, not just in our marriages and in our families and in our school life, and the list can go on, in our businesses and so on. But man, we need it in all areas. We need hope. And so as I was reading, because, you know, we're talking about finances, we're about to give in that bucket, in that bucket. And this is the season that there's a lot of depression because people can't afford to have a Christmas that like they would like. Matter of fact, there's some people that have no Christmas. They just can't afford it. And when we start ministering to them about hope, the Bible says right here in Romans 5 and verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Now, don't get confused that God's wanting you to go into trials and tribulations, because He's not. But what this is trying to say is that right in the midst of a trial or a tribulation, you don't have to be in depression. No, you can, as the Amplified says, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings. Not that the sufferings are something to rejoice about, but how many of you know there's a choice? We talked about it earlier. You can either stay in the rut of misery in a trial and tribulation, or you can climb on out of it and allow the blessing of God to overtake you. That's what it's talking about here. Now, watch what it says just real quick. Verse 4 says, "And patience and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed." Again, in the, I like the Amplified how it says it. And in verse 5, "Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So here's the thing. When you operate in God's economy, which is sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest, it gives you this sense of hope. Because as Malachi says, man, he says, I mean, he goes on to try to get us to examine ourselves. He says, "Test me." When you're a giver in the kingdom of God, when you're a blesser, when you pour out into people's lives, I'm telling you, it opens the doors and the window of heaven. I've said this, and this is the last thing I'll say before we give. When it talks about the window of heaven, it only talks about it two times in the Bible, when it says how God will open the window of heaven. Most of you know the first time when God told Noah to go build an ark because He was going to open the window of heaven and cause the rain to come down. All of us know that the rain came down and had to go above the highest mountain on the earth. It had to cover the whole earth. The other time that He talked about the window of heaven opening, He was talking about tithing. When you're a tither and you give to God, He'll open the window of heaven and pour out the blessing so that you don't have enough room in the barn to receive it all. And I don't know about y'all, but I kind of want to be in that area. I don't want to be in a barn that has nothing in it. It all starts by understanding that we have hope by operating in God's ways of doing things. That's what Matthew 6 and 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." When you study that word kingdom, it just simply means His ways of doing things here on earth like heaven. So when you give, start giving with that attitude, not the church is just trying to get our money. No, we're not. God doesn't need your money. God needs your obedience. Amen. And so when we give in these buckets, let's give with that attitude. I'm going to give to You, Lord, so that I can operate by sowing and then reaping. Okay? So come give with a big old shout of praise. John, come on up here, brother. Hallelujah. John's gonna give his, he's gonna sing. You got your, all right. Amen. All right, give the kids a big old round of applause. Amen. For y'all that are new, they started that about, oh, 6 or 7 years ago when a little girl just started saying, let me put that offering in the bucket. And now a bunch of kids, and what it's teaching them is how to start sowing and reaping. Amen. John, I believe it was probably a month or two ago that I was singing a song, and I went out there and I held the mic in front of his mouth. Now, he used to be on our praise and worship team, and so I knew how good he can sing. But I told him, you know how the devil does. You know, there's people that have gifts, and then they don't use them anymore. Or the enemy does something that, causes them to not want to, or, you know, just feel like, you know, they're not worthy or whatever. And so I told John, I said, it's time that you start allowing that gift to come forth. So I want you to welcome this man of God, as he blesses us. Amen.
Do this song. I got to be honest with you. When Corey first told me he wanted me to start singing, y'all, I didn't want to get up here anymore. I really didn't. You know, I felt like I'd had my time and I was done. So when I, what's the word for it? I guess obeyed. God's always put it on my heart to do songs that minister. I'm not all that great at fast-paced songs, but this song, when I finally, I was like, I need to find a song that, you know, will fit the requirements. And when I found this song, God put 3 sets of people on my heart: Steve and Sybil, Roger Sassman, and Mike McCluskey. He put these people on my heart real heavy. And this song is to minister to you. But I'm not so delusioned as to think that there aren't other people out here that need ministry. And so I hope that you will listen to the words, not me. Listen to the words and what God's trying to say to you. I can't tell you when you're walking through this valley, and I can't tell you just how long you've got to stay, and I can't tell you why your heart feels so unsettled, when this all will change. But I can tell you there is something you can lean on. It's a promise that won't bend and it won't break, and it will keep you when the future is so unsettled. You're not out of grace. When the darkness overwhelms you and the fear just won't subside, and when your questions outweigh answers on the long and lonely nights, friend, you've got to keep on moving. He is with you in the valley of despair, but he won't leave you there. He is with you when you think you just won't make it, and he is right there when it seems all hope is lost. You're gonna find out God's nothing less than faithful. So keep holding on, keep holding on. When the darkness overwhelms you and that fear just won't subside, when your questions outweigh answers on those long and lonely nights, Well, you've got to keep on moving. He is with you in your valley of despair, but He won't leave you there. No, He won't leave you there. No, there has never been a moment, church, there will never be a day when God's not strong enough to rescue. He's not strong enough to save. When the darkness overwhelms you and that fear just won't subside, when your questions outweigh answers on those long and lonely nights, well, you've got to keep on moving. He is with you. Yeah, when the darkness overwhelms you and the fear just won't subside, when your questions outweigh answers on those long and lonely nights, friend, you've got to keep on moving. He is with you in your valley of despair, but He won't leave you there. No, God won't leave you there.
Amen. Come on. Thanks, brother. Proud of you. Very proud of you. Come on, y'all. Give it to him. Good job. Very good song. Very good song. Hallelujah. All right. Clear the paths. With a big round of applause, youth group and kids church are dismissed out the back door. Amen. The bell has sounded. Praise the Lord. See, kiddos, we have a great kids' church, man. And I don't know if y'all have, has everybody walked through the kids' church? It's all we lack through those doors out the back. All we lack is the bathrooms to be finished and a few things like that. And but they're already getting to meet in those classes, and praise the Lord for that. So, and as y'all know, I want to thank everybody that's sown into that. We do everything debt-free here. So as finances come in is when we finish all of it. So if God puts it on your heart to buy a toilet, then please do. And a vanity and those kind of things. We need to get those kiddos to have their own bathrooms. I think there's four back there in the kids' church. So, all right, how many brought your Bibles? Let's jump right into it. I don't have a lot of time. Oh, man, I don't know what the Holy Ghost is going to do this morning, but we're going to let Him do whatever He wants to. Say amen to that. Come on. Now, the reason this gets started is just to help a lot of people catch up real fast. Who was not here 2 weeks ago? Let me see your hand. If you're a visitor, that's you. If you wasn't here 2 weeks... Okay, if you was here 2 weeks ago, let me see your hand. Okay, so the majority of you was here. All right, so I don't have to catch a lot of people up very fast, but understand that the Spirit of God told me 17 years ago when me and my wife started this church that we wasn't a Pentecostal Assembly of God, a charismatic, that title on the church. We was not a Baptist or a Methodist cowboy church or anything like that. We were just a cowboy church. And so He showed me, even though we are a Spirit-filled church, that until people get taught about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, about tongues, about things that we wasn't ever raised up in, then it's liable to scare them and then they leave. But when you get taught, and so in Bible study, we teach about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and things like that. And you'll be surprised how many people have been filled with the Holy Ghost. By the way, I was actually being raised a little Southern Baptist boy. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost about age 13 at a Baptist vacation Bible school. Go figure that one. Because they didn't even know what happened, neither did I. And it was amazing what happened to me. And then again in 1984, when we started ministering in the cowboy world, most of y'all know my dad was a ranching cowboy, worked for John Wayne on a ranch in Arizona, that John Wayne would come from Hollywood. And this was 1968. I was born in 69, and then he stayed there those 3 years, 70, and then moved to Morenci, Arizona, and then on to Carlsbad, New Mexico, where most of my family's from. And then what moved us to Texas was the oil field. My dad built oil wells and moved to Odessa. And so we all graduated at Odessa in 1984 is when we started ministering in the rodeo world, in the Western world, cutting horse and, you know, horse shows, stock shows, you name it. And when we started ministering as a musical family, being a little Baptist bunch, we started seeing and hearing things that we had never heard before. You know, that Holy Ghost stuff. Because I just have to be honest with you, at our church, if there was any excitement, there were two or three deacons that would say, "Amen." And that was the excitement of our church growing up. Amen. We were like, "Oh, the Spirit of God must be moving." And we just wasn't raised that way. And then again, man, we started learning about the Spirit of God. And we started seeing in the Bible things that we hadn't seen much. Okay. Now to skip forward then, you're starting to see a lot of signs and wonders happening in the church. Now, once we started getting revelation of a lot more than what we were taught in our denominational churches, and we got to look at it in the Bible, and we got to start studying it, and then we got to start seeing some things manifest. For example, how about healing? We were taught in our church that healing went away with the old covenant. Well, when you start reading the Bible, you can't find that in there. You know what happens, though, is when someone doesn't get healed by the power of God, then there's some justifying that takes place. Well, it was because of this or that, or maybe God doesn't heal everyone. And before you know it, you're convincing yourself that God doesn't heal everyone, maybe until they get to heaven, where the Bible tells me that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He's the same yesterday, and He's the same today, and He'll be the same forever, then when He healed blind Bartimaeus yesterday, then He has to heal me today if He's the same. So it didn't make sense to this little family that God didn't heal everyone. Matter of fact, if you read the Bible, God healed all. And you know what He always said? According to your faith. According to your faith. According to your faith. And that's what He would tell them. And man, they would receive that healing power, praise God. The woman with the issue of blood, man, that's all she was doing, was going through that crowd. Wasn't even supposed to be out with that blood issue. She needed to be secluded, kind of like we're seeing today with everybody having to be inside by themselves, secluded. But she didn't care. It's kind of like this church. We don't care what the government says. I told them at the start of this COVID mess, I said, I believe four things. You want to hear them? Number one, if you're sick, stay home. If you're in fear, stay home. I said, if you believe, man, you get out here and start interacting with all of us. But the very fourth thing that I would say is, and you know, my mom doesn't like the third one, you know, because I would say, if you're 65 and older and you have health issues, I understand, stay home. I'm not against that. But the fourth thing I said is I trust people more than the government. In other words, listen to me. We know pastors have been taking care of flocks for hundreds of years. We know how to take care of a flock. You know what we do? We start preaching faith and we rebuke fear. The Bible says that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Okay. Now, so what's going on is people are being secluded, social distancing and things like that, and it's trying to stop the power of God from happening in churches. And he's trying to keep people at their home. By the way, I told a crowd in California not very long ago, y'all probably heard this. I said, look, the reason everybody and you're seeing spikes happening right now in some areas is because we've had those stupid masks on where we haven't been able to keep our immune systems up. We've been social distanced enough. You know what passes and causes people to keep an immune system up is we pass viruses, amongst each other, and it keeps our immune system up. So when you have a mask on constantly and you're social distance from everybody, then your immune system goes down. So when we come to church and we're not social distance, are we? This is definitely not California. What we then do is we start believing in the power of the assembly of ourselves together in the name that's above every name, Jesus. Okay. So the Spirit of God is starting to move. And when He begins to move in a church, I need to start explaining what's going on. And 3 or 4 weeks ago, when Chip Brim was here, the Spirit of God moved. So let's talk about it. Because we saw the people come up here. We saw some fall out. They just fell back. Whoa, wow. What's going on with that? We saw some manifestations that a lot of times the church don't see anymore. Now, they saw it back when. They saw the old tent revivals happening. And I'm telling you, the power of God showed up at those meetings. And people were miraculously healed. I've been in services where the spirit of laughter will come on a crowd. And I mean, they can't stop laughing. Matter of fact, you'll see in places in the Bible where they go, have they had too much wine to drink? Are they drunk? And remember what the Apostle Paul said? No, they're drunk in the Spirit. And man, we've never experienced any stuff like that. We've never seen people get out of wheelchairs and blind eyes open. And dogs have the fourth leg put back on that only had three. But I'm here to tell you, they saw it in churches that believed. And I want you to know today, this church is a believing church. Now, I'm not talking, because I told 2 weeks ago, I'm not talking about a bunch of squirreliness. I'm not talking about where you get squirrely and start seeing things that are out of order. But I'm talking about the power of God moving and changing someone's life. For example, if the doctor told you you're dying and you've only got 6 months to live, when you have the power of God on the inside of you, you have the Jesus that has the name above every name, and you've been given the authority to use that name, then when the doctor tells you and gives you what I would call a bad report, would y'all agree with that? It's a bad report when some doctor says, and by the way, I've tried to tell every crowd, my dad's side are all doctors, so I believe in doctors. But a doctor or a human is not the final report. Because God's the final report. So I want to go to the great physician. I don't want to believe the report of a man. Now, God bless them. I mean, they spent, 16 years. I just got two nieces just got out of med school. They spent a lot of time getting that degree. Well, I'm here to tell you, with my degree, 3 years at a junior college, take that. It's a whole lot better than that degree that cost them lots of money for 16 years when all I got to do is just believe this Bible that says by the stripes of Jesus. This is 1 Peter 2:24. By His stripes we're healed. So we got to start seeing the manifestations of the power of God move in our churches. Not just in our churches, though, in our personal lives outside this church. So, let's get the Word of God on the inside of us and start showing you where does the Bible talk about some of the things that happened a few weeks ago, that's happened in lots of believing churches. And let's jump into it right now. I want you to go to your Bible and I want you to turn to the very front page to the table of contents. This is going to speed up a little time. And I want you to find the book of Joel, J-O-E-L. And then I want you to turn, because it's going to tell you the page number. It's going to be 1441 in my Bible. But I want you to find Joel, and I want you to turn to chapter 2. Chapter 2, Joel's Gospel, chapter 2. Now, 2 weeks ago, we read and we began to talk about Acts chapter 1. We talked about how there's two baptisms. The baptism of water, that's when you give your life to Jesus. The death burial, remember when you go, we're going to baptize here in just a little bit. We've got about 5 or 6 people we're going to baptize. When you go under that water, it's the death and the burial of the old you, the old man, the old woman. And when you come out of that water, it's the new you in Christ, okay? The death, the burial, resurrection, okay? That's what Jesus did, okay? The second baptism you'll find out in Acts chapter 1 is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That the Bible says it gives you power. What is the power? Well, it's the Greek word called dunamis. Dunamis power. The very same power. Listen to me. That God had when He raised Jesus from the dead. He had dunamis power. You and I have that power. Why? Because of Jesus. Jesus is now the Lord of our life. If He's not the Lord of your life, He will be here in just a little bit. You're going to get saved. There's no reason for you to live in this world without a Savior. It's a bad time to live without someone to cast all your cares upon. That's why right now there's more suicides than any other time in history. Why? Because of the spirit of fear. Because we're in the last days, y'all. So since we're in the last days, let's let the Spirit of God move in a mighty way. Okay? Then we went to chapter 2 and we begin to talk about the day of Pentecost, how fire came down from heaven. And we started talking about tongues. And I always kid around with, you know, tongues, Kawasaki, Mitsubishi, Hyundai. No, I'm talking about that prayer language that you need to start studying, that you need to have in these last days. Because the Bible says that when you have your tongue, your personal prayer language, no one can understand it but God. Now think about that. This is why the devil told our church that when you speak in tongues, it's of the devil. Because that's what we were taught growing up. Never understood that because I walked away from God in college. And I wasn't saying I was worshiping the devil, but I was definitely not worshiping the Lord. I mean, the party was at my house, 605 Runnels, Big Spring, Texas. I mean, the party, I mean, it was every single night at my house for 2 years. And I got to thinking about, if tongues were of the devil, I never spoke in tongues not one time during those 2 years. So why would the devil try to not want us to have, but maybe because of misunderstanding or not understanding the tongue? Well, because I got to thinking, if no man can understand it, but only God can, then the devil can't. So when I pray about something, just for example, this morning when I prayed, I said, Father, I'm going to pray in tongues about this service. And so I and I began to pray in my tongue. I don't know what I said and don't care, but God does. He may need me to be praying about someone that's showing up this morning that desperately needs prayer, and I don't know how to pray for it. Have you ever seen some of those, the Bible talk about repetitious prayer? How it's, you say the same thing over and over and over and over, and it's always the same thing. Well, when you pray in the Spirit, I'm telling you, it is a Holy Ghost prayer to the Father. So why would you allow the enemy to rob you from that benefit that Christians need to have? I'll tell you why. Because the devil doesn't want you to have a tongue that he can't understand. Because if the devil can understand what you're saying, he can come against it. I mean, you're praying for a marriage to be restored, and here's the enemy and all his demons coming against what you're saying. But man, when you pray in the Spirit, that devil can't understand it. Okay? All right. So, let's talk about some of these signs and wonders. In Joel chapter 2 verse, let's do verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Now, we read a little bit about this 2 weeks ago in Isaiah chapter 60 and 61. How the Bible says in the last days He'll pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall you know that word. That's it. When you get some prophecy, ooh, Jesus. I mean the Spirit of God. By the way, do y'all know that's a sign? Anyway, just saying. It's always amazing when you start talking about signs and wonders that God will give you a sign. And I'm telling you, the rains from heaven are a sign. Now look what God's trying to say in the last days. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. And old men, look what it says, y'all. Come on. If you get so... Here's why I think, you know, when a spirit of, what would you call it, Holy Ghost? When the spirit of confusion tries to come in, I mean, in order to break that, God's got to get you laughing. I mean, if you can get the spirit of laughter, it'll change everything. I've told a man years ago when the doctor told him he was dying, I said, do what one man I know did. Get you a VCR and go get the old movies of the Three Stooges. You ever seen those? Oh, they're stupid. But you'll laugh. And when you begin to laugh, it will change everything. Now get back to this. So stay with me. Old men shall dream dreams and young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants, verse 29, and upon the handmaidens, and in those days I will pour out my Spirit. Now remember, He just said to us all that He's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Not just some, but all. And He's talking about anybody that will receive. Now look at verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. So what God's trying to teach us all is there's something about in these last days when signs and wonders come. Now, flip over to the New Testament to Mark chapter 16. And let's just look, because what I want to do is I want to build a foundation to where you feel like you want to receive everything God has for you. Mark chapter 16. Because I think it's time that you and I see all of these things that are in the Bible and that you actually feel like they're for you. Not for just a preacher. Listen to me. You got to get a hold of this, y'all. God shows no favoritism. He does not love Billy Graham more than He loves you. But Billy Graham has spent a lot of time with the Father. And he's heard from Him. And therefore, you see the salvations, wow. Remember in his crusades, they poured out of those seats. Now, do you notice that people wasn't forced to come with a gun? They poured out of those seats. I go to the minister's conference at Copeland's, and oh, man. I mean, every single minister always starts out with a pastor named Happy Caldwell. I mean, I'm talking what I would call the great giants of the faith. You know, your Creflo Dollar and your Jesse Duplantis and your Jerry Savelle. And I'm telling you, all of them have spent a lot of time with the Lord. But God doesn't show them any kind of favoritism more than yourself. It's just about understanding that in these last days, you deserve the Spirit of God being poured out on you individually. Okay, here's what happens though, is the enemy then tries to attack you. Well, yeah, but you don't know what I did yesterday or last year. I mean, I've got this sin, this addiction that, and I haven't been able to defeat it yet. Listen to me, I've told rodeo cowboys in college, it's kind of where I started, and I'd go to college after college. And I taught them, anytime there's sin in your life, don't run away from God, run to Him. Because the enemy always wants you to run away because of the enemy causing guilt and condemnation. But the Bible tells us that our God's not a God of guilt or condemnation. He's a God of grace. He's a God of love. He's a God of redemption. He sent His Son so that you can be redeemed from the curse of the law. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with feeling worthy even. I was raised on that. You know, I'm not worthy. You know, I know some of you mean well, but you just don't know. When I say, how you doing, please do not say better than you deserve. Because that means you don't deserve very much. No, no, no. If you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you will never say that statement. Because you deserve everything. You know why? Because you're an heir of God. And you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are someone in Christ Jesus. You are a believer and not a doubter. You can do all things through Christ. He loves you. You're more than a conqueror through Christ. Come on, y'all. When we get our faith up and stop allowing the devil to put us down, and we are going from faith to faith, from glory to glory, we're arising. Remember what he taught? I told a little bit about it at the national finals. When it says the word arise, that's what I love that Chip Brim taught us. It doesn't mean to get up. It means to go to another place. We need to get our faith up in these last days so that when the enemy does try to attack, and he will attack even in this season, why don't you speak to that mountain and command that mountain to be cast into the sea? Why don't you say, mountain, you are not going to rule over me. I command you to get thee behind me. The Bible says when you speak to the mountain, remember, and believe the things that you say will come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you sayeth. So we got to start believing the Word of God. We got to start understanding that there's signs and wonders coming to us that believe. Look at verse 17, Mark chapter 16. And these signs, this is Jesus Himself talking, y'all. It's in red. These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name. Underline that in your Bible. In My name. Did you know it didn't say in Corey's name? In Pastor Corey's name? That's not going to get you very far, I can promise you. You'll die. And then you'll have to get a believer to raise you from the dead, and it just takes a while. I mean, it says in My name. In the name of Jesus. In My name. They will cast out devils. Oh man, I want to camp out here for just a second. Do you know what the problem with a lot of Christians are? You know what the problem with Christians? They're more afraid of the devil than the devil afraid of them. Do you realize that Satan is just a fallen angel? Anybody out there? You realize he's just a fallen angel. He got kicked out of heaven, and all the ones that supported him got kicked out as well. Yes, I realize that they're the prince of the air. They have some control here on the earth, but not to a believer, because we have Jesus. So when we have Jesus, the devil, you're not supposed to be afraid of him. I kind of like that preacher one time that the devil walked into the room and he wakes up and says, "Oh, it's just you," and goes back to sleep. Anybody else would have ran in fear. Why? Because that's how the devil is. He's a fearful one. That's why we operate in love and some other religions operate in fear. They want to beat you. They want to kill. They want to try to cause terror so that you'll join their ways of thinking. That's the opposite of how we believe. That's why Christians are pushed down a lot, even in the political process. You're watching it take place right now. You're watching the political process take place right now because Christians, our nature, a true believer's nature, is to walk in love, right? We're to walk in grace. So we don't say a lot of things. We know how to hold our tongue. And it's ruined a lot of things in the political process. And we're watching it play out right now. I better not go there. All right, look. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak. Read it. Everybody looking at it? Does everybody have a Bible? Trust me, it's in here. They shall speak with new tongues. Tongues. Now let me stop, man. I'm going to have to finish this next time. Darn it. Well, I can't because Dallas might be playing. That's a bad one right there, man. They're doing the winnow. Don't confuse, and I talked about this a little bit, and if we need to get in Corinthians, we will. But don't confuse the personal prayer language of tongues that is available to everyone, any believer that wants it, and the gift of tongues. Because a lot of people will go, uh-oh, in your service, I heard someone speak in tongues, and there's supposed to be an interpretation. Well, at the gift of tongues there is. And if anybody is led in that area, let that tongue come forth. Just make sure you do it in order. Because if you do it out of order, I'm going to call you down. And I'm not going to be afraid. Because I'm responsible for this body. Not the First Baptist. I'm not responsible for them. I'm responsible for what God gave me here. If you call me your pastor, I'm responsible for you. You're the flock. But if you have a gifting of tongues, an interpretation that is listed out in Corinthians and all through the Bible, let that thing come forth. I mean, praise God. At a lot of times in services I've been a part of, is there'll be a hush come over the crowd, and then someone will just begin to speak in tongues. When that happens, usually someone has an interpretation. Now, don't get confused about that, because a lot of times people aren't bold enough to speak the interpretation. They know they wanted to, but you know how it is. I mean, what will people think? And you see where the enemy starts moving, and he starts getting us confused and timid. Well, wait a minute. God didn't give you a spirit of timidity, right? He gave you a spirit of power. But that's why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because when you got that power, you're not afraid. Now again, I stress this because I think what's happened in a lot of churches that has run off people because it was scary in a lot of ways is because people did it out of order. And so we want to do it in order. Okay? All right, so look at this. And I'll close on this. And man, I haven't even gotten to John. I haven't gotten to where the soldiers fell out under the power of God. I mean, verse 18. This is Jesus talking. They shall take up serpents. Now, don't let that confuse you. If you bring a snake to this church, you will get shot dead. Don't pick up a doctrine just over what Jesus said here. My Lord, it's happened before. Now, we're not a snake handle in church, I can promise you. I want to use a little King James vernacular right now. You bringeth a snaketh to this churcheth, you dieth. And the snaketh dieth toeth. Okay. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. All it's talking about is the power of God. Remember when the Apostle Paul, remember when they got him and he got bit by that viper, the world's deadliest snake, and they're amazed that he didn't die? That's what this is talking about. When the power of God is on you, when you're not afraid of some devil, you're not afraid of some snake, you're not afraid of things that are causing you to live in fear. Man, when you get the faith of God on the inside of you, that stuff doesn't torment you any longer. That little snake doesn't bother you. I'm not saying go and allow the thing to bite you. No, that is stupid. That's not right. You will die fast that way. And there's no sense in raising you from the dead. Just let you go on to heaven. The deal is we've got to get in faith. We've got to start believing these things. When the power of God and the anointing of Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you, I'm telling you, even a deadly thing that bites you is not going to harm you. It's not going to kill you. Unless you allow it to through fear. That's what it's talking about. These signs and wonders will follow them. Say it loudly. That what? Believe. We don't see healing in churches because we don't believe it anymore. There's no way God would put a fourth leg on a dog. Uh-huh. It's happened. I mean, there's testimony after testimony of people bringing... A guy came to me. I don't know if he might be watching. He just won a reserve champion in the bareback riding. A fantastic bareback rider. And he catches me at the church service. We're in the arena on a trailer, and all those people are in the stands. Well, at the Texas Rangers ballpark, plexiglass is everywhere. You cannot get to the arena. You can't get to those baseball players. You're going to have to jump over, and it's way down there, about six, eight feet. So here they came. He said, I need you. So him and his wife came, and... He said, hey, on the very first horse, I messed my shoulder up. I said, all right, you a believer? He said, well, of course. Absolutely. I said, well, then let's do what the Bible says. And he was a little perturbed at some things that have gone on. For example, this COVID junk and how everybody is secluded. But no one wanted to catch the thing and... Anyway, so I said, all right, you're a believer, right? He said, yeah. He said, but, and I think it was his left shoulder, because he rides with his right hand. And y'all seen bareback riding, that's the hardest event on your body, because those horses buck. And I mean, it just jerking you. And that's, I mean, you pull all kinds of muscles in those big old, those horses weigh 1,200. And they're bucking and jerking you. And so you got he brings his trainer, just like any professional, to the rodeos. And man, he's hurting though. And so I said, okay, why don't we do, we haven't read this, but unless you've read it already, Mark 16, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. That's what the very last part of what we was just reading. Lay hands on the sick. Now, don't misunderstand where you got to have an elder or a deacon or someone like that. No, you can do that. So, left. So I did this. Okay, you're a believer, right? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am. I said, okay, well, let's just command in Jesus' name, right? Because we're doing everything in the name of the Lord. That's Colossians. We just read it too. In my name, Jesus. So I said, okay, what we're going to command is that everything, the rotator cuff, if it's torn, we're going to command it to line up in Jesus' name. If there's ligaments, whatever is wrong with that shoulder, I said, let's just believe that it's healed right now in Jesus' name. Okay? Now, this is all being done by what? Faith. Because the thing hasn't manifested yet. I mean, it's easy to believe things when, you know, when they've already happened. But we're talking about his arm. He couldn't hardly lift it. So I begin to pray the prayer of faith. Just believing, Father, in Jesus' name, I speak over this shoulder. And I command it to line up with your word. When you created this shoulder and this body, it was complete, whole, healed in Jesus' name. I like that. I like that. Touch your shoulders if your shoulders are hurting right now. Lay your hands on them just like that man's doing right there. Just lay your hands on them. I've done it to myself. I didn't have anybody around when I had a stomach ache. So I said, Father, the word says, lay hands on. So if you have something wrong with you right now, lay hands on it right now. I said, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you. I didn't say, oh, please, sir. Please, please, sir. If it be thy will. That old religious nonsense. No, it's his will. You've got to know the will of God. That's another justification of someone not getting healed. It must have not been God's will. A girl told me that at the college national finals one year when I said, hey, God will heal all. She said, no, he won't, because my mom was full of faith and she's still in a wheelchair. And God is using her in that wheelchair. I said, yeah, but God will use her more if she walks.
Amen.
Anyway, I got time for that. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, by the stripes of in the power of God, be healed. Then I backed up and I said, okay, raise that thing. Oh, amen. Wait, that's obedience, man. Praise the Lord. She might have been scared. Yes, sir. No, then that's when faith comes. When you begin to, when you laid hands on that, get that thing up. Start raising that thing. Because when you raise, there you go. You command that pain to leave in Jesus' name, because see, that's how the power of God works, and I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement. Because see, there's power in agreement. I mean, that's why you kids, you need mama's agreement. If not, she'll whoop your tail. At least that's what my mom did, right? I did me in a magazine one time. I told this story before, and they said, what are you most afraid of? And I put my mom. Well, I wasn't doing it in a mean way, but I was just a respectful fear of my mom. She's the one that could slap you from the front seat when you was in the back. And not have to look. What'd you say? Well, my brothers called and said, hey, mom's upset at you. I said, why? I'm the favorite. They said, you told all of the world in a magazine that you're afraid of your mother, which then implies that she has beat you all of your life. So I had to call and apologize. I didn't mean it that way, though. But, man, respect. These signs shall follow them that believe. So how many of you want to start seeing signs and wonders following us that believe? Well, you just experienced it from that man being able to raise his... We saw it. You know what happened to Tim O'Connell? After I prayed for him, he won the go-around that night. He won 26,000, didn't he? He won the go-around that night. And he just kept going, doing good. Amen. Listen to me. We need to start seeing signs and wonders. Next week, I'm going to try to finish it. If I don't, I just don't. I'll finish it. Sometime. Listen, on Tuesday night, though, we have Bible study. At Bible study is when you can go, hey, what did that mean? I mean, you can't do it in a corporate service like this or it'll be out of order. But in Bible study, that's when you go, explain that again. Show me that in the Bible. Don't just tell me. I want to see it for myself. Okay? See, that's what happens at Bible study on Tuesday night here. You need to start coming. That's how you get to know people. But I want to start seeing signs and wonders, following them believe. All right, real fast. I want y'all to pray a prayer with me. If you've never met Jesus and He's not the Lord of your life and you don't know what would happen to you if you died, you don't know if you go to heaven or hell, I want you to ask Jesus into your heart right now. All the believers, if you know that Jesus is the Lord of your life, I want you to pray this prayer with us, because you're going to be praying it with someone beside you possibly. Okay? Sometimes. We're going to pray and ask Jesus to come into our life. That's Romans 10 and 9, by the way.
Bible study,
the Bible says, was that me? The Bible says, did I say that twice? Oh, the speaker. Okay. I thought I heard myself. The Bible says in 10 and 9 that if you'll confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, that's why I think you should always do it out loud. You don't do it under your breath. You say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. The Bible says that if you speak it with your mouth and then believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, say it with me, you'll be what? Saved. Saved from a place called hell. You do not want to go to hell. Mm-mm. But as I said earlier, you need heaven. You need Jesus. We need someone to cast cares upon. So we're going to pray a prayer right now. Head bowed and every eye closed, please. And let's pray it just like this. All of us in here, especially you that have never made Jesus your Lord, pray this prayer. Ready? Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is Lord. And I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Forgive me of all my sins, because right now, Jesus is my Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. When I leave this earth, when I die of this flesh, I'm coming to heaven. But while I live on this earth, I'm going to serve you. I want to see signs and wonders. I'm going to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Before you say amen, if you just gave your life to Jesus and you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, you just now said, Jesus, come into my life, and that had never happened to you, but it did just now. All I want you to do is when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and I want you to put it right back down. All you're saying is, I just gave my life to Jesus. I prayed that prayer. I meant it. I want to go to heaven and not hell. And then again, just put your hand back down. Ready? The reason I do this is because I want you to be bold. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting just to acknowledge that Jesus is now your Lord and you invited Him in this morning. You ready? Boldness. One, two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. They're going to try to get you a Bible. Praise God. Thank you so much. No one looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. Four people. If I didn't see your hand, let me see it. Proud of you. Honor. Honor to call you a brother. I mean it. All right, look at me, y'all. There were probably four or five people that gave their lives to Jesus. Now, that's awesome. But now you're in the family of God. You're in the family. When I'm hurting, and believe it, pastor's still hurt. If you knew what I had to deal with. So I appreciate the prayers. But when I'm hurting, I need you as a family. But when you're hurting, you got a big family. We'll love on you. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. You people that gave your lives to the Lord, it's an honor to call you a brother and sister in Christ. And I mean it. Now, as we leave this place, we're going to drive out those gates. God does not stay here. Because see, He goes with us. He don't stay in a building. The cathedrals, I sang in London, England one time. Oh man, the sound just went forever and ever and ever. But God didn't. He don't reside in those buildings. He resides in you. So He never leaves you or forsakes you. So He's going to go with us right now. It's up to you. It's up to me to start seeing the signs and wonders out there. When people need joy, we may be the only light that they'll ever see. The light of the Lord. Amen? So, let's go out with faith. Let's go out with expectancy that you're the head and not the tail. Amen? Love you guys very much. If anybody needs prayer after, you come down and I'll pray with you. Amen? We got a big team. And please, again, don't forget Saturday, Women's Ornament Exchange. The Christmas concert on Sunday, which will be next Sunday. And then Christmas Eve service. Amen? Love you guys. Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. If you received healing in this place, I'll never forget, I was just doing a service in California. I was just singing. It was before I preached. This had been 20 years ago, and a guy jumped up, and he declared, "I just got healed of gout from my leg," while I was singing. It doesn't matter when it happens. If you got healed, you need to tell someone. Tell me, please. Let me know. That's just more of the manifestation, confirmation. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that signs and wonders are when people give their heart to you. Glory be to God. We don't have to just seek after a sign of tongues or something like that. No, any kind of sign. The rain that fell earlier is a sign from you, sir. So it's an honor to be in your kingdom. Father, thank you, Lord, as we leave this building, you don't stay here. You never leave us. You don't forsake us. You get to go with us right now. I thank you, Lord, for the new people that came this morning. It's an honor to have visitors. I pray that if they don't have a church home, that they would make this their church home. And if not, if this church doesn't fit them, cause them to find a good Bible-believing church where they live. Now, as we're about to baptize some people in the back, and if that's you, just go on. Y'all just go ahead and get up and start getting ready for it. When we baptize people, sir, I thank you, Father, it's going to be a joyful time for family to see their family or their friend, the death burial of the old them, and coming up a brand new one in Christ Jesus. So we give you praise for what's about to happen. And the rest of us, we're just going to witness it, or we're going to leave and go and enjoy our day with you, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen? All right, if y'all don't mind, there's a trough right in the back. Anybody that wants to gather around, please do. We're going to go baptize. Thank y'all for...